Our sermon, The Ultimate Miracle, is taken from Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 to 34. Here in our text, we catch a glimpse of the reality of everyday life in this fallen world. A world plagued by sin, a world plagued by diseases, a world plagued by sicknesses, and ultimately, death. Death seemed to be that inevitable outcome of life. And as we come to a sermon like this, we want to think about the beginning of life, not just that, but the end of life. We want to think about life itself. And we see that death seemed to be that inevitable outcome of life, the ultimate impasse. A sad inevitability. All seems so hopeless, and the sick person seems so helpless, the dead person so lifeless. If you have been sick, then you would have understood what it is to be weak, to be helpless, to lay on the bed, having no strength, having aches all over the body, not knowing what to do, not having the strength to recover. And this is what life is, as you make the analysis. You look at a sick person, the people around seem to be so helpless. We receive the SOS call, as it were, from a family, daughter, plagued with high fever, had to be rushed to the hospital. The whole family is so concerned, very worried, because she's just a young girl, and the fever seems so high and for such a prolonged period. And we didn't know what to do. We could only cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ for this. This is the sad reality of life. As you see the sick around us, the people around seem so helpless to do anything to help that decaying life that is ebbing itself away. This is a sad reality. This is the world that we lived in, plagued by tragedy, sorrow, sadness, plagued by death. And so, what hope is there for men? What joy can he speak of that will not ultimately end in sorrow, if you think of it in the final analysis? Every relationship that we cherish has to come to an end one day. And so as you evaluate these things, you are faced with the stark reality of life. This is life. Days are sad and oftentimes dreary, and tears often our eyes overflow. And indeed, if we think about these things and we have gone through such occasions, you see that with fear we face the future, and you ask, how can we go forward? Many a despondent soul would say, let's end it all. What hope is there for me? Well, this is a very common statement that we are seeing. The people in society itself, people that we have come across. Just 2 weeks ago, I was visiting someone in the home. This man was plagued with such depression, and the depression is so great that he has given up hope of life. And as you think about it, as you read in the papers, as you look at the people around us, it is so common. It is a common phenomenon amongst people. Why is it that they have lost hope? How is it that this depression has got so much into them? You know, depressed people are sad. they are anxious. There is that emptiness. There is that hopelessness. There is that worry. There is that helplessness. There is a sense of worthlessness. Sometimes we feel irritable. Sometimes we feel hurt. We feel restless. And we lose interest in the normal activities of life. And oftentimes we find escape. There was this man that I visited. He was indulging himself in computer games. Not a young man, but a middle-aged man. But he spent from morning to night playing computer game as an escape. And it seemed that the people around could not bring him out of that escape because the family said that he has had several failures. And because of all these things, he just do not have any more courage to stand up and carry on life. Some experience weight loss. Some indulge in overeating. Some have problem concentrating. And there is some attempt suicide. And some with insomnia. Some excessive sleep. Some fall into fatigue. Loss of energy. Aches and pains. The problems of life seem so myriad. Is there a solution to the troubles in life? This is the reason why I'm speaking to you today with this urgent message of hope in Jesus Christ before you totally give up on life. I do not know what problem that you may have, that you may bring before you, but this gospel that we want to bring before you is the only hope in the world today. Come to Jesus with your heavy burden and He will give you rest. There are two thoughts that is before us in our text in Matthew chapter 9, this second half from verses 18 to 34. Firstly, let your adversity draw you to Jesus. Let your adversity draw you to Jesus. Whatever trouble that you may have, whatever challenges that you may face, whatever difficulties that comes your way, you may have reached an impasse. You said, no solution. I don't know what to do. Well, the encouragement from our text is this. Come to Jesus. Let your adversity draw you to the Savior. You would see here in our text several characters in desperate need. They are all in trouble. Not themselves per se. Some, well, they are in trouble. But there are others whose loved one is in trouble. And they didn't know what to do. And they came to the Lord Jesus. And the second thought is how they tasted and experience the sufficiency of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a reality that I would like all of us to know and learn from this text. To know who Jesus truly is and to embrace Him as our all-sufficiency, as the all-sufficiency of your life. The first thought. Let your adversity draw you to Jesus. We see in our text desperate situations. The first character is an important person. Our parallel text in Mark 5:22 tells us that his name is Jairus and he was a ruler of the Jewish synagogue. An important person. He was a somebody. He was someone who is in charge and runs a Jewish synagogue. And so he had many spiritual responsibilities on his shoulders. He was a man of influence, a man of good standing in Jewish society. And as much as his status brings him, he could not save his 12-year-old daughter who was dying of sickness. In fact, in the course of events, before Jesus could reach his daughter, she had died. And the funeral was already in progress when Jesus arrived at the scene. What I want to bring before you is how this man's adversity drew him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at how he approached the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18 of our text. It is a follow-on from what we were studying 2 weeks ago. Remember, we were discussing and how Jesus forgives sins, how he forgave the sins of the paralytic man, and we saw how he forgave the worst sinner in Capernaum. Jesus is now in Capernaum. He has healed the paralytic man. Then he called Matthew to follow him, and we saw how Matthew was notorious, so-called outcast of Jewish society, because he was a tax collector. But being a publican, he's hated by the Jews for extorting from the people. And how this man followed the Lord Jesus and was saved. And then we follow on to see how our Lord saved the man, two men, who was plagued with demons. And it was during those times after Jesus had saved them that he came back to Capernaum. And it was there that when he was speaking to some of John's disciples, that this man Jairus came to the Lord Jesus. And what did he say to Jesus? He knew in his heart that Jesus was the solution for his problem. For the text tells us, behold, that this ruler came to Jesus and worshipped Jesus. Look at how this man approached Jesus. The word here literally means to bow down. It's an act of involved prostrating oneself on the ground before the honored person. Such reverence he accorded to the Lord Jesus. He knew that Jesus was not just man, but he is the living God himself. And he came with great humility, great sincerity, believing and acknowledging the deity of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the living God. And look at the next great statement that he made. He says, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her and she shall live. Wow. This man knew who Jesus was, that he is indeed the creator, the one who made all of us, the one who has given us the breath in our nostrils, and therefore the one who can bring life to a man that is dying, as it were, dead. And so he came pleading to Jesus. And look at verse 19. What did Jesus do? And Jesus arose and followed him. Look at the response. Jesus immediately took action. He arose from whatever prior engagement that he had and he followed the man. And Jesus had great compassion on those who are suffering and afflicted. If you were to look at all the incidents of men in desperate need, every one of them who came to the Lord Jesus has not failed to receive help from him. And that is the truth that we want to bring before you, so that if you are in any adversity, you are in any trouble, come to Jesus, call upon him. He is God. He has that omnipotent power to help you. And then suddenly, there was an interruption right at that time when Jesus was on his way to save the 12-year-old girl. And behold, verse 19 says, a woman was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years. Who is this woman? This is the second character that we see here, by the way. Right? She was running after the Lord Jesus because she was in some kind of trouble. Our text tells us that she was diseased with an issue of blood. The Levitical law tells us that someone who has such a problem, right, would be ceremonially unclean, meaning that she would be ostracized, or she has to be isolated religiously, and she has to be isolated socially. She cannot come in contact with people. She cannot worship. And her problem was serious because she was in this trouble for 12 years. Imagine to be in such prolonged sickness. It must have drained a lot of her energy, a lot of her strength. The parallel text in Mark chapter 5, verse 26 tells us that she has gone to many physicians. She has sought help everywhere, and she had spent all that she has. She had nothing left, as it were. And her situation is not better, but grew worse. And so when she saw Jesus, she understood in her heart that this is the living God, that he has that power to help. And so she rushed herself forward to the Lord Jesus. Although there was a great crowd, she could not get near, but she pressed herself. And our text tells us that she did not utter any word, unlike the ruler of the synagogue, this man Jairus. She did not make any public confession of faith, but she had that confidence that if she could only touch the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ, she could be well. And so this was the case. And there was, as we look at her life, that we see that precious seed of faith that is in her, that our Lord later will commend. So she came to the Lord Jesus trembling. And thereafter, she went off rejoicing. When she touched the hem of our Lord's garment, immediately she was healed. It was a notable miracle. And she said within herself, verse 21, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. That was her faith. She saw with the eyes of faith that this is the living God. And we too see with the eyes of faith through Scripture the living God. We had the opportunity to visit and meet with our brother Ming Wei, who is here with us some 4 or 5 months ago. And how a dear brother of his was so concerned that he needs help. And he was very sure that Jesus Christ is the solution for him. And indeed, Jesus Christ was brought to our brother Ming Wei and the family. And with the congregation of God's people pleading day and night for the last 4 or 5 months before God, we saw the mercy of God upon our brother. And we are thankful that he is discharged and that he's recovering. And with God's help, he'll be returning to work soon. And what is more important is this, that out of the whole experience, he understood that Jesus Christ is the living God. And that is something that some of us here experience and testify before you, how they put away the idols that they have worshipped for many decades in their home, and how the mother is here with us, worshipping, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord Jesus Christ is not real, then there is no hope for mankind. But because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and therefore we have that confidence to share, because we ourselves have experienced his sufficiency. And so this lady that we observed came in a desperate plight. She didn't know what to do anymore. She was in a state of perpetual contamination, and you know, nothing she could touch, nowhere she could go. And the Lord Jesus Christ healed her. What a tremendous testimony that is brought before us here. And then we see another encounter in verse 27. Two blind men who called Jesus by his messianic title, "Thou Son of David," that indeed he is that Messiah that is prophesied, that King to come. He is that living God that Israel has been longing for all this time. He is here. And who are these who call upon him? Well, they are blind men. What does it mean to be blind? Well, we all wear spectacles. And for some of us, we see our daily vision blurring by the day. And we realize that indeed the eye is so precious, because by it we are able to see and experience the beauty of the world that is around us. But without it, it's great darkness. And these two women were in that state, or these two men were in that state. They were blind. And what did they do? Verse 27 tells us that they came to the Lord Jesus crying, pleading to Jesus for mercy. The mercy of God is what we do not deserve. The favor that we do not deserve, that we plead that God may give to us. Well, Jesus saw their condition, and Jesus came to their house, and what did Jesus say to them? Verse 28, at the last part, "Believe ye that I'm able to do this?" And they said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." You see, the first thought that we want to bring before you, how our Lord Jesus is that great Savior, Deliverer in times of adversity. Do you come with some trouble that is before you, whether it's in your workplace, whether it's in a family, that you don't seem to have any solution to solve? Well, our text tells us that when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you draw near to him, you bring before him your trouble, he can undertake to help you. And so, as we think about it, you see how this man was helped. And then, in verse 32, we see another man. This man was possessed with the devil. And he was dumb. He could not speak. And again, he came to the Lord Jesus. And how the Lord simply healed him. What marvelous testimony of the power of God. And as we think about it, that is the first thought that we want to bring before you, that when you are in any kind of adversity, come to the Lord Jesus. He is able to help you. And then the second thought, taste and experience His sufficiency. We see how He was able to help. And we come back now to our first story, the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus' daughter. Right? We see how Jesus was interrupted earlier when he was getting there. And now he's going to make his way to Jairus' house. And what happened? Well, when he reached there, the girl was already dead. And what else? Well, the funeral procession is already going on. Imagine you see the dead person that is right before them. What devastation would that be, right, for a father to see the death of his own little daughter? It must have broken his heart. But he knew who Jesus was, that Jesus is able to help her. And so when Jesus came, what did Jesus do? Well, verse 24. He said unto them, "Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth." The people were laughing him to scorn. They said that, "Oh, how could it be, you know, that he sleeps? This is a dead person, right? There is no life in that person. We can see that coldness in him." Then, so the people went and put forth, and Jesus went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. She rose from the dead. Well, that is a truth that we want to bring before you. A miracle of miracles. The greatest impasse in human life is death. Death comes, the Bible tells us, as a result of sin. It is the curse of sin, God's judgment upon sin, that man has to die. And so when Jesus raised that lady from the dead, it was great power manifested. It was a precursor to what our Lord Jesus himself would experience, for he would, after the 3.5 years of ministry, go to the cross, and he would die on the cross on our behalf to take away all our sins, to shed his blood. And then after he died, he was buried, and 3 days later the disciples went and saw that the tomb was empty. Jesus is not dead, but alive. How could this be? Well, our brother who came and visited us the other day said, "How can it be that a man is raised from the dead?" Well, this is a truth that we want to bring before you, that many who have experienced and put their faith in Jesus Christ will, in the final day, experience that resurrection power. So, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you may ask me, "After I believe in Jesus Christ, then what? Would I not still have to die?" Yes, this physical death But the Bible also tells us that Jesus Christ, after he has died, he rose from the dead. 40 days later, he ascended to heaven and he would be returning to bring his church to glory. All who are dead in Christ, the Bible says, by that same resurrection power would be made alive again. And this is the greatest consummation, the greatest hope in human history for all mankind, that we may not die hopelessly in our sins, but all who die in Jesus Christ at the coming of the Lord Jesus would rise again. The Lord would give to us a glorious body. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. This is how we would comfort our dead. And that is why in the Bible Presbyterian Church, we bury our dead. And the dead that is placed in the ground, we see the dead body that is laid to rest, going to dust. But at the same time, looking up, the day is coming when our Lord Jesus will come. And when he comes, he would recreate and give a new body to the departed soul. And this is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That the loved ones that we know who have died in Jesus Christ, we shall see again. And this resurrection power is a resurrection unto eternal life. Life in everlasting bliss in the heavenly places. And we would escape the torments and the judgment of hellfire that the Bible tells us is a sore reality for those who die without Jesus Christ. And so, as we think about today's text, we want us to remember and see that indeed, through Jesus Christ, there is hope for all mankind. Let your adversity draw you to Jesus. Maybe any trouble that the Lord may put you in, that cause you to realize that you have no more wisdom to help yourself anymore, then that is the time when the Lord has prepared that most blessed and privileged moment and occasion in your life to receive and taste and experience the power of Jesus Christ. May this be your portion. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank thee for thy word. Thank thee for giving to us the account of this miracle of this girl who has been raised from the dead. Oh Lord, we cannot understand that mystery of great power that thou hast laid before us in this text of scripture. But we know the sad reality of death and sorrow in this life. And Lord, we want to, by simple faith, like Jairus, like the woman with the issue of blood, like the two blind men, like the man who was dumb, who to have that little faith to cling on to Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, give to us that faith to trust and come to Jesus for salvation and eternal life, to save us not only from this life, but from the judgment of the life to come. Oh Lord, help us. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.